right, good. Turn your Bibles to where we were last night. Second Timothy chapter number one, please. We good? Second Timothy chapter number one. And I want you to open up your notes right there. We're going to finish what we started last night. And man, the Lord has been very good to us this week. Thank you so much for your undivided attention to the Word of God. And 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 7. 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number number 7. We'll read it once and kind of go over what we went through last night a little bit. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 7. If you need to look at the table of contents, that's fine. But I want you to find it, okay? 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 7. All right, let's read it together this morning. Verse number 7, ready, begin. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Let's ask the Lord to help us this morning for a little bit. Father, thank you for the tremendous time that we've had already this week. Thank you, Lord, for the young people. I appreciate their spirit. I appreciate their respectfulness. Thank you for their excitement, enthusiasm, Lord, for the games, and also for you. I ask you, God, that you would right now help us to concentrate on what the Holy Spirit of God wants to tell us this morning. God, thank you for the music, and it prepares our hearts. But also, Lord, may it also worship you and adore you, God, because you're the only person that's worthy of adoration. Thank you, Lord. I ask that you would use me this morning and help me, Lord, to be a blessing. I need you so desperately. In Jesus' name, amen. Very quickly, raise your hand and tell me what was point number one last night. Somebody give me point number one. Yes, ma'am, right there. Okay, remind you of his intercession. Intercession. What is intercession? What does that basically mean? That somebody is what? Talk to me. Somebody is what? Somebody's praying for you. Number two, remind him of his number two on this side. Here we go. Yes, ma'am. Inheritance, all right? That means I'm persuaded that it's in you. Unfeigned faith was in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that it's also in you. And then number three, somebody raise your hand and tell me point number three. Yes, sir. If it's interaction, and what does this mean? This means salvation. What did he say? I want you to do what with the gift of God? Talk to me on the count of three. One, two, three, do what?
Stir it up.
Stir up the gift of God that is in you, all right? Stir it up. That is in you. So that's the reminder. Number two, I want you to write this down right there in your notes. Here we go. I want to remind you. Number two, I want you to write this down. The realization. Write down the word, the realization, okay? So number one last night was the reminder. Paul wanted to remind Timothy of his intercession. I prayed with you. I prayed for you both night and day. I've not stopped praying for you. Number two, I want to remind you of your inheritance, this unfeigned faith that is passed down for you. And then number three, I want to remind you of your interaction, your salvation. Stir up the gift of God that's in you. Stir it up. Now, number two, the realization. Okay, so last night, the reminder. Number two this morning, the realization. Now, here it is. Here's the reality. Look at me. God has not given us the spirit of fear. But here's what God gives to us. So the opposite of fear is faith, all right? The opposite of fear is what?
Fear.
The opposite of fear is what?
Fear.
Yes, the opposite of fear is faith, okay? It is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. The Bible says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's impossible to please God without faith, okay? So here it is. The opposite of fear is faith. You say, what is faith? This is what I believe, in my opinion, that faith is. I want you to write this down. Number one, so he hasn't given us the spirit of fear. Number one, he's given us the spirit of power. Write it down. The spirit of power. He's not given us the spirit of fear, but he's given us the spirit of power. The spirit of power. You guys familiar with the story of David and Goliath? Yes or no? Yes, okay? So everybody's afraid of Goliath. Everybody in the Valley of Elah. Everybody's afraid of Goliath. Who's the king in Israel during that time? What's his name? Saul, okay? Before David. It is David afterwards, okay? So Saul. The Bible says that Saul is head and shoulders above everybody in Israel. He's the tallest guy. He's perhaps the strongest guy, and even Saul wouldn't go out there and fight with Goliath. Who's the little guy that defeated Goliath? Talk to me.
David.
Yeah, David. Now, David wouldn't even put on the armor. David wouldn't even try the sword. He says, I've improved these things. You know what that means? I've never tried this stuff on. This stuff doesn't fit me. Look at me, man. It's too big for me, man. I've never had this. So he takes out his sling. He says, I got these five smooth stones. And he slays the giant, cuts off his head, shows everybody around it. Now, that's a gory story if you want to read something in the Bible. He kills Goliath, boom, stone, falls flat to the ground, takes out Goliath's sword, huge sword, and he begins to decapitate Goliath's head. And he holds his head up, you know why? So that all of Israel will know that there is a God in Israel, okay? So David was focused not on his power and not on his fear, but on his faith. And David had the power of God on his life, okay? So the opposite of fear is what? And number one, here is what I believe faith is. Number one, the spirit of power. The Bible says that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, but of power. I want you, if you can, let me just read it to you. Write it down in your notes. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16. Write it down in your notes. You can study it later, okay? Romans, R-O-M, dot, abbreviation, right? 1:16. And here is what Paul says in Romans 1:16. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, but also to the Greek. So right there, that word power in the Greek, dynamite, right? Dynamus, okay? It means that when the gospel comes into somebody's heart, when the gospel is preached, when the gospel is believed in, when we give people the gospel, it is like the power of God. The gospel is a powerful thing. Do you agree with that this morning? Yes or no? Is the gospel a powerful thing? Absolutely. I've seen the gospel of Jesus Christ transform a man that was always drinking, a man that would spend all of his check at the bars and wouldn't be able to pay the mortgage or rent for his family. I've seen the gospel change that man. In our church, there's a man that sits in the back. His name is Don Roberto. I call him Don Roberto, okay? His wife, Maricela, she come to our church for the last 8 months. She was saved. She was coming to church, and she raised her hand one night during prayer meeting, Wednesday night prayer meeting. We have a prayer meeting. We got about 30 people there, and we just pray for like 45 minutes, okay? And she said, Pastor, pray for my husband. He drinks all the time. He cusses me out. He's a bad man. Would you pray for my husband? So for the last 7 months, we've been praying for Don Roberto. 7 months. So for the last 7 months, about 4 or 5 months later, Don Roberto come walking through the doors. And I thought, oh, man, here's this guy, man. He walked in with an angry face. He's sitting in the back. He's not even listening to the preaching. He's just like, oh, man, I hate being here. Arms crossed. My wife made me be here. But as I started preaching that Sunday, man, I was preaching, and I saw him walk in. I said, Lord, you know Don Roberto's lost. Lord, I know that I can't say anything today that'll save him. Lord, you know that I'm inadequate. I don't know what to do today, Lord. But I got excited. You know why? Because I started thinking about the power that's in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I started thinking about, man, this guy's probably went to AA meetings. This guy's probably went to his friend's house trying to get help. But today, he came to the right place, Lord. And as I got up to preach that Sunday morning, I started begging God, Lord, would you give me the power of God? Oh, God, I need an extra dosage because there's this man in the back that needs Jesus. And would you know that at the invitation, Don Roberto, he started crying and tears started dropping down his face. And he raised his hand during the invitation. And one of the guys in the back went to Don Roberto. And Don Roberto got saved that day. And for the last 3 months, Don Roberto has come to church every Sunday. 2 months ago, I baptized his wife, I baptized Don Roberto, and I baptized his son. You know why? Because I believe in the gospel, in the power of God. And God says, God didn't give you the spirit of fear. God's giving you the spirit of faith. And what's number one? The power of God, the spirit of power. Now, the Bible says in Philippians 3 and verse number 10, listen to me. Paul says this, that I may know him. Pronoun him means God, means Jesus. He says, I want to know Jesus. And hear how he describes knowing Jesus. Look at me. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Woo! The power of his resurrection. You're talking about some powerful stuff. I mean, if I told you I can knock this tree down out here, you say, man, you smoking on something that's really good. Can I get a little some of that, right? You say, you done lost your mind, Brother Sammy. If I told you I could stop the waves from crashing onto the rocks, you'd be like, man, this guy's crazy. But if I told you that there's a God who his son was dead and laid in a grave, and on the third day, the Bible says God raised up Jesus from the dead. That's powerful. If I told you in John chapter 11 that there's a guy that's dead and he's been dead for a couple days, oh Lord, by this time his body stinketh. How are you going to bring back Lazarus? You ain't got the power to do that. And they said, hold on. I'm glad, Lord, that for their sake and for your sake, so that they would believe the power of God. And then that day, you know what Jesus said? Lazarus! Come forth. And when he did that, you know what happened? The ground began to move. People began to be wide open like, are you kidding me? And that man got up from the grave. You know what that's called, young people? Look at me. You know what that's called? That's called the power of God. Now look at me, look at me. God says that that power is available to you. Yeah, that power is available to you. That power is available to you. You ask God for his power. Lord, I need resurrection power in my life. I need power to overcome this difficult situation. I need power to overcome all these bad influences at my school. I need power to stay pure. I need power to take a stand for God. I need power to live my life for Jesus. I need power to think the right thoughts. I need power to have the right actions. I need power to stay in church. I need your power to read my Bible. I need your power to pray. I need your power to dress right. I need your power to act right. I need your power to talk right. I need your power to live right. Hey, God, I need your power. And you know what God will do, young people? He will give you that power. You know why? Because if you're in Jesus Christ, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So what are the old things? Part of the old things is living in a constant fear. The Bible says, but the fearful and abominable. He gives the description of those that be cast into the lake of fire. The fearful. I'm all afraid. I'm afraid. Hey, God didn't give you that spirit of fear. If you're in Jesus Christ, you walk confidently, knowing that, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because God is with me. Yeah, God is with me. Now, look at me, look at me. The opposite of fear is what? The opposite of fear is what? Number one, the spirit of power. Number two, write this down. We're talking about realization this morning. Number two, write this down. Not only has he given us the spirit of power, but write this down. He's given us the spirit of love. Write it down in your notes. The spirit of love. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love. So the spirit of love. I want you to hold your place there and go all the way almost to the back of your Bible to the book of 1 John. Go to the book of 1 John, okay? Find Revelation, back up a couple books. Okay, Revelation, back up to Judas, and then back up. It'll be 3 John, 2 John, 1 John, okay? Go to 1 John. Go to 1 John, chapter number 4. Go all the way in the back of the Bible, and you'll find it. 1 John. 1 John, go all the way to the back of your Bible, and you'll find it. Use your Bibles this morning, so you know I'm not making this up. 1 John, chapter number 4. I want you to see what the scripture says in 1 John, chapter number 4. 1 John chapter number 4, and look at what the Bible says in verse number 7. 1 John chapter number 4 and verse number 7. Look at me, look at me, look at me. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 7. Are you there? Say, give me, give me. Amen. That's right. Here we go. Verse number 7, the Bible says, beloved, let us what? I want you to circle those words. Love one another. I want you to love one another. Here you go, brother. Love one another. That's what he's saying. Look at me. Look at me. I want you to love one another. Love one another. Look what it says in the Bible. For love is of who? Love is of who? God. It comes from God. He says, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Look at verse 8. Look at verse number 8. He that loveth not, what does the Bible say? Knoweth not who? Do you see it? He that loveth not, knoweth not who? God, okay? So if you don't have love in your heart towards your brothers and your sisters, then maybe you don't know God. Okay, here it is. Because a byproduct of knowing God is loving God's people. Look at me. Here we go. You can't love God if you don't love his people. It is impossible to say, I love God, but I can't stand her. It is impossible to say, I love God, but I hate this dude right here. I can't stand him. No. If you love God, a byproduct of knowing God is loving God's people. Does everybody understand what I'm saying this morning? So if you love God, you're going to love your brothers and sisters, but they get on my nerves. I don't like they talk the way they talk. I like the way that they act. It doesn't matter. Listen, maybe somebody doesn't like the way you act. Maybe somebody doesn't like the way you talk. Maybe somebody doesn't like the way that you dress. That's irrelevant. All that matters is that we love God enough to love each other. In one of the Gospels, Jesus told his disciples, listen, guys. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. What do you think Jesus told them by this? Is it casting out demons? Is it great preaching? Is it seeing miracles? You know what Jesus told them? By this shall everybody know you belong to me, if you have love one to another. When people see how much you guys love each other, when the world sees how you treat each other, when the world sees that you pick each other up when you're down, when the world sees that you have prayer chains and prayer meetings and you begin to beg God for an individual that's been through a tough time, let's get together. Instead of criticizing somebody and criticizing each other and gossiping about each other and backbiting each other and clowning each other, why don't we get together and pray for so-and-so because she or he is standing in the need of prayer? And when people see that, they're like, wait a minute. There's something different about those kids. They love each other. Hey, what God or what church do you go to? Because I want to be part of that group. That when I'm having a tough time, instead of ridiculing me, instead of stepping on my neck and finishing me off, they get together. And here's what they do, Joseph. They pray for one another. That's a beautiful thing. You see, that's the spirit of love. It is the opposite of hate. You see what I'm saying? Bible says that we should show forth the praises of him, Jesus, God, who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. You know what the world is categorized by? Look at me. By hatred. You see somebody does something better than you, you know what you start doing? You start hating on them. You know why? Because that's normal to the world. The world hates God. The world hates each other. Look at me. That's the custom of the world. That's the ritual system of the world. They hate each other. Of course they're going to talk about each other. Of course they're going to backbite each other. Of course they're going to ridicule and cast down and punch and violence. You know why? Because that's the way of the world. But we Christians, we love one another. If you're in Jesus Christ, one of the byproducts of knowing Jesus is that you will love the family of God. That's your question. Do you love people? Look at me. Do you love people? The people that love people are those individuals that know that they're loved by God. Look at me. And so you haven't had the best life. I don't know your life, but you haven't had it. Let's just face it. Life isn't fair. Right? How many can agree with that statement? Is life fair? Dude, it's crazy. Crazy stuff happens in this life. But look at me. If you learn to love God, and if God becomes real to you and you say, I know God loves me, you know that's going to have a trickle effect. When you know that you're loved by God, you're going to love people. You're going to be secure in the love of Christ. The opposite of fear is what? Talk to me. The opposite of fear is what? Number one, the spirit of? The spirit of what? Number two, the spirit of? And number three, and I'm done this morning. Here it is. Number three, the spirit of a sound mind. Write it down. I want you to write it down so you won't forget the message. All right, here it is. So God says, I didn't give you that fear. I've given you faith. And what is this faith? Even our faith that overcomes the world, the Bible says. You have faith in Jesus Christ. Now here it is. You have the spirit of power. Then you got the spirit of love. And number three, write this down. The spirit of a sound mind. Does anybody know what it means to have a sound mind? Would you raise your hand if you know what that means? Yes, ma'am. I like that. Peaceful, calm. I believe that the Bible is teaching there that you have self-control. Self-control. I want you to turn in your Bibles right there, and I'm going to end here in this passage. I want you to go to Proverbs chapter 25 and verse number 28. Proverbs 25. Everybody look in there very quickly, okay? Proverbs 25, and then we'll look at verse number 28. And I'm going to end right here in this scripture. Proverbs 25 and verse number 28. She said, peaceful, calm, self-control, sound, healthy, good. We say nowadays you got a good head on your shoulders. But this is deeper than that. You're controlled by the Spirit of God. Now, Proverbs 25 and verse 28. Look what the Bible says in Proverbs 25 and verse 28. Are you there? Are you there? All right, here we go. Proverbs 25 and verse number 28. The Bible says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a what? I want you to circle that word city, all right? Circle that word city. If you don't have rule over your own spirit, you're like a city. And here's what he says. A city that is broken down and without walls. You know what that means? In January, I had the privilege to fly into what they call the Federal District. The Federal District of what? Of Mexico. Mexico City, the capital of Mexico. Huge. Millions of people there. It's one of the most unsafe cities in the whole world. Very unsafe. Part of the reason that Mexico City is unsafe is because the law enforcement in Mexico, the majority of them are bought off by the cartel. The majority of them are bought off by businessmen. The majority of them, if they stop you for whatever, you can pull out some cash and give it to them, they'll just leave you alone. It's a city that's broken down without walls. It's a place that you can do whatever you want. You can allow intruders to come in. There's no boundaries. There's no safeguards. It's like driving on a highway with no guardrails. You lose control. Fall down the cliff and you die. The Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of faith, power, spirit of love, and a spirit of a sound mind. Do you have self-control? Does the Spirit of God control you? You ever meet somebody and you say, man, that's just the way I am. That's just the way that I am. That's the way my family is. That's the way my dad was, my mom. I don't care. I'm just going to be this way. Do whatever you want. I don't care what anybody thinks. You ever meet somebody like that? You ever had that attitude? You ever lost your cool self-control? Is everybody with me? God says, I didn't give you that spirit. God says, I've given you a spirit of self-control. Let me save your control. Let me control your actions. It's beautiful when God controls somebody. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 18, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. You know what he says? But be filled with the what? Be filled with the what? Wine, beer, whiskey, vodka. When people drink too much of it, it controls them. You see happy drunks. You see angry drunks. You see delusional drunks. Oh, just pray for so-and-so. Man, he lost his mind. I hate seeing them like that. Look at me. Look at me. They're being controlled by another substance. And God says, if you're in Jesus, I want you to be controlled by another person. Take it off your head. I want you to be controlled by another person. You know what he's saying? I want the Spirit of God to control you. When was the last time you came under the influence, not of alcohol, but under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God? When you live in the Holy Spirit of God, he'll let you do some miraculous things. You won't be the same person. You won't talk the same way. You won't behave the same way. You'll have the joy of the Lord. You'll have the power of God in your life. There'll be something different about you when you come under the influence of the Spirit of God in your life. I don't know about you, but look at me. Look, I'm done here. I want people so much to see Jesus Christ shine through my life. I want it so badly. So many times people just see Sammy. Man, I stunk today. I'm terrible. So many times I thought bad thoughts and I'm thinking, dude, I'm so far from God. I need to get back to the Lord. So many times I've slipped and fallen, and I'm thinking, man, that's terrible. But I like to think sometimes, in some way, that I've been under the influence of the power of God. You know why? Because I don't have the spirit of fear, but we have the spirit of faith. With every head bowed and every eye closed, thank you for listening to God's word this morning.